Official detective, dedicated to the men who guard your safety and protect your home, your police department.
Lieutenant Dan Britt, headquarters. Most witnesses to crimes are naturally excited, so their identifications of suspects are often open to question. A case in point is a crime that took place in a butcher shop owned by a man named Otto Kraus. One afternoon, a customer came in to buy some meat, but found the place empty. In a moment, she began to lose patience.
Mr. Kraus? Where are you? Mr. Kraus, this is Mrs. Leslie. I'd like to be waited on, please. I haven't got all day. I'd like to be... Now, what in the world is that? Oh, the refrigerator. Oh, dear me. Just a moment. I'm coming. Mr. Kraus.
Police. Call the police.
You're positively blue. You must be half frozen.
Worse than that. Telephone the police.
The police? Why?
Look on the floor of the icebox.
On the floor. Merciful heavens. Who is this man?
A customer. My shop was held up and he got shot.
Oh, dear. Is he badly hurt?
Worse than that. For 20 minutes, I've been locked up in the icebox with a dead man.
Here, Mr. Kraus. This coffee's nice and hot. You better drink it down.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant. I feel better.
You're not shivering anymore.
No, Lieutenant.
Now, this dead man's wallet identifies him as Thomas Hall.
Yeah, Mr. Hall. He was a regular customer of mine.
What time was he shot?
Let me see. What time is it now?
5 p.m.
5 p.m., Mrs. Leslie. Telephone you at 25 minutes. I was locked in the icebox for 20 minutes. It was about a quarter after four, Lieutenant, when it happened.
I see. Did you make any attempt to put up a fight?
Me? No, sir. I got more sense than to argue with a hold-up man. But poor Mr. Hall, he tried to take the fella's gun away like a hero.
Now he's a dead hero.
Yeah.
What happened right after the shot?
The hold-up fella made me drag Mr. Hall into the icebox. Then, when I got inside, he slammed the door.
Can't you open the refrigerator from the inside?
Oh, sure, but he stuck a knife in the latch outside, so I couldn't turn it. It's a good thing Mrs. Leslie come in. I would have been dead myself, frozen stiff.
And how? Are you sure no money was taken from the register?
Yeah, I checked. He didn't get nothing.
Well, after the shooting, he was probably too scared to rob you. His main concern was to get away.
I hope you find him soon. He's a murderer.
Well, you can help us, Mr. Kraus. So please concentrate now. Give us a full description of the man.
All right. He how do I start?
How old was he?
I would say about 50 years old.
How tall?
Just as tall as me. I'm 5'9¾".
Uh-huh. What do you look like?
Well, he had on big, thick glasses with, horn rims.
How was he dressed?
Oh, this I remember very good. He had on a short blue sailor's coat.
A pea jacket?
Yeah, and a sailor's blue knitted cap.
A watch cap.
Yeah, and I don't remember what kind of pants and shoes.
Sure sounds like an ex-Navy man, Lieutenant.
Yeah. Mr. Kraus, did this man look familiar? Had you ever seen him before?
Yeah, the way he was dressed. I seem to remember seeing a man dressed like that around this neighborhood, but I don't know who he is.
The wagon boys just pulled up outside.
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks for your help, Mr. Kraus.
I wish I could do more. I hope you find this killer.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to start the hard way, ringing doorbells and asking questions.
Officers look terribly tired. Here, sit down on the hall bench for a few minutes.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Foster. We've been beating our feet around this neighborhood for more than 3 hours.
Mm. Yes, and we've drawn nothing but a big blank.
A murder in Mr. Cross's butcher shop. I can hardly believe it.
Well, we're hoping you might be able to help us a little.
Well, I'd like to, but I don't know how. I'm only a landlady here. I just rent rooms, that's all. Six tenants. All seem to be honest men.
Are they all here now?
Well, I couldn't say. Mr. Ryan's in. I do know that. He lives here on the first floor. That's his door right over there.
I see. Now, Mrs. Foster, the shooting took place this afternoon at about 4:15.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of your roomers come in or go out about that time?
Well, now, let me think. Yes, Mr. Ryan came in.
What time?
Oh, about 4:30. I remember because I was just going out to get some milk. It was a very funny thing, too. Mr. Ryan was running.
Running into the house?
Yes. He almost knocked me down. He was in such a hurry. I asked him why he was running, but he didn't answer me. And I remember he had a frightened look on his face.
Well, how was he dressed?
Well, that's funny, too. He didn't have a hat or coat on. And you know it's chilly out today.
How much do you know about Ryan?
Well, not a thing, actually. But he's always very quiet and, well, kind of unpleasant.
Come on, Sergeant. We have no actual reason for suspecting Ryan, but while we're here, let's talk to him.
Okay.
And thanks for your help, Mrs. Foster.
Oh, don't mention it. I hope I haven't caused any trouble.
Who is it?
We'd like to talk to you, Mr. Ryan.
What is it?
We're police officers.
What?
Close the door, Sergeant. What's your full name, please?
Earl Ryan. What's it all about?
We're investigating a shooting at Krause's butcher shop.
Yeah?
You came back here at 4:30. You were running. You weren't wearing a hat or coat. Would you tell us where you'd been?
Just out for a walk.
Why were you running?
Because I was cold. When I went out, I didn't realize how cold it was.
Do you wear glasses, Ryan? Thick ones with horn rims?
No. I never had a pair of glasses.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver. Right now, I'm out of work.
We'd like Mr. Krause to have a look at you at police headquarters. Would you be willing to come down with us?
Why not?
Can you get your hat and coat, please?
Well, sure, but... Hey, I'm not mixed up in this.
We hope not, Ryan.
I never even been inside that butcher shop.
Is this your only hat and coat?
Sure. This old brown coat and gray hat. It's all I own.
No pea jacket or watch cap in this closet, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ryan. Let's get out to the car. Otto Krause, the butcher, was brought to police headquarters to look at the suspect, Earl Ryan.
Take a good look at this man, Mr. Krause.
Yeah, Sergeant, I'm doing that. No. No, this is not the holdup man.
You see? I told you. I'm getting out of here.
Hold it, Ryan, hold it.
You're absolutely sure, Mr. Krause?
Oh, positively. Like I told you, the killer was just as tall as me, but this fella... Well, just look at him yourself. He's 2 inches shorter anyway.
Yeah, and I never had any trouble with cops. I'm an honest man. I'm no criminal. I haven't got a record. Look me up in your file.
I did, Ryan. You're right. No police record.
Okay, then. What are you holding me for?
We're not. Sorry we troubled you, Ryan. Sergeant Allen will see that you're driven back home.
Well, that's something.
Arrange for Mr. Krause to be driven home, too, Allen.
Okay.
And meet me down to the file room. I want to dig out known stick-up men and see if any live in Krause's neighborhood.
Just a moment, please. I'm coming. Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. You're Sailor Smith, right?
Yes. Please come in.
Go ahead, Allen.
Thanks. Now, what can I do for you?
We're police officers.
Yes, I knew you were.
How?
From long experience. When I was active in the safe-breaking business, I received many visits from the police.
You're not active in the safe-breaking business anymore?
No, sir, I'm afraid not. I have very serious eye trouble now. I've had to retire. You noticed I'm forced to wear these rather strong eyeglasses.
Yes. We're working on yesterday's killing at Krause's butcher shop.
I didn't think you came just for a social call. Well, I know exactly what happened. You looked into the files, found my long police record, and decided to pay me a call. Is that correct?
That's it, Smith.
And you said, ah, Sailor Smith. He lives in Krause's neighborhood. He's a suspect. Let's go talk to him.
You've got it straight, Sailor, so let's talk. Now that you can't crack safes anymore, are you sticking up butcher shops?
No, sir. You flatter me very much.
In what way?
By suspecting me. Are you gentlemen going to accuse me of that shooting?
No, not yet.
Well, believe it or not, my friend, this is the sad part. The police haven't been attentive to me for quite a long time. It's good to know that I'm remembered.
Well, sailor, now that we've made you so happy, perhaps you won't mind coming down to headquarters.
Oh, I'd be delighted. You want Mr. Krause to have a look at me, I suppose?
That's it. Want to get your hat and coat?
Yes, indeed. They're right here on this chair.
Look what he's getting, Lieutenant. A pea jacket and a watch cap.
I see. All right, sailor, let's get moving.
Oh, Lieutenant Britt and Sergeant Allen. While you men were out of the office, I'd been reading the police magazine here on your desk. Very interesting. Have you brought back some news for me?
We sure have, sailor.
I'll be most anxious to hear what it is. What's the verdict?
What do you mean?
Well, sir, unless things have changed a great deal here at police headquarters, you were observing me through that one-way glass.
You guessed it.
And was Mr. Krause observing me, too?
He was.
Well, what did he say?
He made positive identification. He says you're the man who held him up and shot his customer.
Oh, dear. Mr. Krause is so wrong.
There's no doubt in his mind, sailor. Same height, same pea jacket and watch cap, same glasses. He says you're the guy.
Well, this is like old times. But I'm sure it will be all straightened out when you catch the actual culprit.
You still deny the crime?
Of course, Lieutenant. But naturally, you'll have to do your duty and hold me on suspicion.
That's right. Alan, take him downstairs and book him in.
Oh, dear.
Five p.m., Lieutenant. I think I'll go down and get some coffee. Can I bring some up to you?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Good and black.
Okay. Oh, has Sailor Smith cracked during the afternoon?
No, still denies everything. Hold it a second. Lieutenant Brett.
This is Otto Krause, the butcher.
Yeah?
Listen, why did you let that Sailor Smith out of jail?
I didn't. He's in a cell right now.
He can't be.
Well, he is. I just talked to him.
Look, he just left my shop here. He held me up again and cleaned out my cash register. Yanni, he put me in the icebox again.
How long ago did this happen, Krause?
5 minutes ago. This time I was lucky. I didn't have time to freeze. A customer came in and let me out. Excuse me, Lieutenant, but you were crazy to let out that Sailor Smith go.
I did not let him go. This must have been another man. How was he dressed?
Just like Smith in the sailor stuff, and he had on the same thick glasses.
How tall was he?
Well, oh my goodness. Wait a minute.
Well?
I must be crazy. He was 2 inches shorter than he was yesterday. Say, I guess maybe it wasn't Sailor Smith.
Well, it certainly wasn't. Thanks for calling. I'll send a man down to check for fingerprints. Goodbye. Alan.
I heard it on my phone. Something real screwy here.
Not so very. I think somebody's masquerading as Sailor Smith. Somebody who doesn't know the sailor's been arrested. Get Smith up here from the cell room. I want to ask him a few questions.
What are you doing in my room, Mrs. Foster?
Giving you some clean linen.
At 5 in the afternoon? How come?
Oh, the laundry came late this week.
I don't like you snooping around in my room.
Snooping? Mr. Ryan, I'm only giving you the service you pay for. And look at you. You've been out again without your hat and coat. You want to catch your death?
Look, Mrs. Foster.
You've been running again. A man of your age running like a boy. You'll kill yourself.
Look, get out of here and leave me alone, will you?
I will. Just let me straighten up a little. Socks on the floor, shoes on the chair.
Hey, put them shoes down.
Well, don't get excited. I'm just going to put them in the closet.
Put them down, I said.
Mr. Ryan.
Nobody touches those shoes but me, understand? If anybody puts them in the closet, it's me.
Well, they must be real special shoes. Do you have them made?
What do you mean, special?
Why, they're so heavy, and the soles and heels are so thick.
So they're thick. So forget about them shoes and beat it.
Mr. Ryan, I'm not used to having my tenants talk to me this way.
Ah, that's tough. Now look, are you going to get out of here or not?
Please, my arm.
Go on, blow you.
I'm going to ask you to vacate this room.
Yeah, get out of here.
Oh. This is fast work, Lieutenant. I guess you boys found the real killer, or else you wouldn't have brought me up from my cell.
I want to talk to you, Sailor.
Always a pleasure, believe me, questioned by the police. It's really like old times.
Now, listen. Do you know a man named Earl Ryan?
Earl Ryan. Now, let me think. Oh, yes, sure. Where is that old son of a gun?
When did you see Ryan last?
Oh, not for 3 or 4 months, I guess. I know. Last time was Halloween.
How much do you know about him?
Not much. We just met in a bar last fall. We got real chummy over some beers, you know, a little stiff, too. I've only seen him a couple of times, don't even know where he lives.
What's this about seeing him on Halloween?
Oh, there was a little party some of the boys in the bar cooked up, and Ryan and I got a little high and decided to go in costume.
What kind of a costume?
Well, not exactly a costume, but we dressed like twins. See, I loaned him an extra pea jacket and a watch cap, like the ones I always wear. We fooled everybody at the party. They all thought sure Ryan and I were twin brothers.
Did you lend him an extra pair of your glasses?
No, sir, I don't have an extra pair, but Ryan got hold of a pair somewhere. Looked just like these I got on. I wish I did know where Ryan lives. A son of a gun never came back to the bar again to return my jacket and cap.
Alan, dial Mrs. Foster at the rooming house.
Sure.
Now, Sailor, at this Halloween party, was Ryan the same height as you?
Yes, he was. Funny, too. Oh, always before that, he was a couple of inches shorter. He must have had a pair of those elevator shoes.
Okay, Sailor, you're sprung. Sorry we troubled you.
Oh, that's okay, Lieutenant. I rather enjoyed it.
Now, Mrs. Foster... Hold on, please. Lieutenant Brett wants to talk to you.
Here you are.
Thanks. Miss Foster.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Are you talking on the phone in your apartment?
No, sir. The number I gave you was the phone in the hall.
I see. Well, can you tell me if Earl Ryan's in his room now?
He certainly is. And if you ask me, he's out of his mind.
What do you mean?
Well, I've got to talk low because this phone's right next to his door. Yeah. A little while ago, he grabbed me by the arm and frightened me half to death.
Why did he do that?
Because I touched a pair of his shoes while I was fixing his room.
What kind of shoes?
A funny kind, Lieutenant. The soles and heels were over 2 inches thick. Oh, dear. Here comes Mr. Ryan.
Not that phone, lady.
Mrs. Foster.
Mr. Ryan, don't. Don't!
Mrs. Foster. Come on, Alan. Hurry. At the boarding house, we couldn't find Mrs. Foster, so we forced Earl Ryan's door. Ryan!
Lieutenant! Hey, look.
Good Lord.
Oh, help me, please.
Let's lift her up to the bed, Alan.
Sure.
Oh, dear. Oh!
We'll be careful. Easy, Alan.
You'll be okay now, Mrs. Foster. There.
Phone for an ambulance.
Right away.
Can you tell me what happened, Mrs. Foster?
It was Mr. Ryan. He heard what I said to you over the phone about his shoes.
What did he do to you?
Oh, he dragged me in here and beat me. Beat me and cursed me because I talked to the police.
Then what?
Oh, then he packed a suitcase, cursing me the whole time. Then, just before he went out, he kicked me.
I remember that.
I told you he must be out of his mind.
You're lucky he didn't kill you. He's a murderer.
A murderer? Oh, dear.
Well, I still. The doctor's coming. Have you any idea where Ryan might have gone?
No, but I saw him looking at something.
What was that?
Oh, that little folder there on the dresser.
This one?
Yes, that's it.
Uh-huh. Evans will be here in a few minutes, Lieutenant. What have you got there?
It's a bus schedule for St. Louis. He's got a departure marked here, the 6:22.
Bus station's about 4 blocks away. We've just got time to make it.
I'll make it. Oh. You stay here and look after Mrs. Foster. Hold it, Ryan.
Huh? What? You...
Put your arms out.
Nah, I gotta make this bus.
You're not leaving.
Hey, what are you doing?
Stand still.
What are you searching me for?
This. This the gun you used at Krause's?
Look, I never used a gun before. That guy rushed me. I was scared.
Yes, but he's dead.
I didn't mean to shoot him. All I wanted was the money.
You went back in disguise and got that this afternoon. What's his key?
Well, it's for that locker over there.
We'll see what's in it. Come on. And don't get any brave ideas. You got your built-up shoes in this suitcase?
Yeah.
Now stand still while I open this locker. Pea jacket, watch cap, spectacles. Sailor Smith's twin brother, huh?
What do you know about him?
Plenty. Your impersonation almost worked.
I thought sure I'd hang it on that guy.
You came close. How'd you get the idea in the first place?
One night, Sailor got crocked and said he was an old safe cracker with a police record. After a Halloween party, I decided I'd dress like him again and pull a stick up.
And he had a record, so you knew he'd be suspected.
Yeah, but after I shot that guy, I was scared. I ran here to the bus station, hid this stuff in the locker, then I ran back to my room.
So Mrs. Foster told me.
Yeah, I ought to kill that old dame. I ought to let her lay in there stiff.
You'd better hope that lady doesn't die.
How could this happen to me? I never had a prison record.
You're going to get one now, Ryan. A real beauty. Come on, walk.
In our cast, Sergeant Allen was played by Lawson Zerbe, Ryan by Don Douglas, Krause by Louis Nye, and Mrs. Leslie by Betty Kane. Official Detective is produced and directed by Wynn Wright, written by Albert G. Miller. All names of persons and places used in this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons living or dead is coincidental. Jack Irish speaking. This program came from New York.